prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set
Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meet. I am Pastor Dave, and this is Pastor Jeff. We are from Revolution Church in Salina, Kansas.
Where we don't care what you look like, your tattoos get you points, and what you smell like doesn't matter either.
That's true, because God doesn't care about any of those things.
Yeah. I mean, he could, you know, if you had a tattoo that honored him, he'd like that. Yeah. You know, you could have a tattoo that disrespects him. He wouldn't like that. But it really, it's not about what we look like. It's about what's going on in our heart. It's about that there's a God that has set us free from sin and guilt. And like, we just want to tell people about that.
Amen.
But today we're going to talk about how we know he's actually real. Have you ever had anyone tell you that God wasn't real?
Yes. I think I've told this story before. I had a friend of mine that used to always ask me every time she saw me, "Hey, you've been hanging out with your imaginary friend?" And like, I didn't know what to say to that because, I mean, really, I mean, I was hanging out with God.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to say yes. Then I didn't want to say no because I didn't want to be lying.
Can't answer that question. Right. Have you stopped beating people up yet?
What?
No. I mean, well, yeah, no.
Right.
So, yeah, anyway, we're from Revolution Church, and you know, we like to have fun, but we love to worship God, and we like science, and we like math. We like all those things, and we want you to come out to Revolution Church. We know there's a lot of churches in Salina. You can go to any of the really good churches in Salina.
Right.
We just happen to be from Revolution Church, so we love Revolution Church. We meet at 9, 11, and 5 p.m. on Sundays. Our radio show's website is truthrevolution.tv. You should come out to Revolution Church. You can go to truthrevolution.tv, find our service times, find where we're located.
You're full of all sorts of good information today.
Well, I'm gonna, you know.
Good job.
We're going to get into the actually how to prove God exists. Today we're going over something called the Kalam cosmological argument. This is good for us to know. If you think God exists, then this is still, even if you already believe God exists, this is good for you to know because this gives you some credence to that fact.
Right.
So sometimes it's known as the horizontal cosmological argument. Not that anybody cares about that at all.
Right. There's the horizontal, then there's the vertical.
Right.
They're both different.
They're different. This one, basically the logic goes something like this.
Whatever has a beginning to its existence must have a cause.
Okay, so that's our first premise.
Right.
We're going to examine it a little bit later, but let's get through this argument first. Okay. Right. Whatever has a beginning to its existence has to have a cause.
Right. Number two, the universe began to exist.
There we go. This is true. The universe began to exist. Of course, some people debate that. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, too.
Right.
But if both of those lines are true,
then therefore, number three, the universe has a cause, a creator.
So whatever, if it's true that whatever is beginning to its existence has to have a cause, and the universe began, then it had to have a cause.
Right.
The universe had to have had a cause. It couldn't have just boop, popped into existence for no reason, absolutely out of any reason at all.
Right. Things just don't do that.
Yeah. I mean, simply put, something outside the universe had to have caused the universe to exist in the first place. Is it valid? Is it sound? We put together a video called the Kalam Cosmological Argument. It's a really good video if you want to see an actual video of this. You can go to our truthrevolution.tv website where this show is posted. We'll have a link to the video. You can watch the video there.
I can just throw the video on the bottom of the deal there. So.
Yeah. So, like, so how long is that video? Like, what is it? Like 6 minutes? 6 minutes? Yeah. 10 minutes? Something like that. It's 10 minutes about. But it's really worth your time. It shows all the scientific stuff behind it. But we're also going to answer Bible contradiction today, get some listener questions in there. But let's just take this one at a time. Okay, Dave?
All right.
All right. So
starting with number one, I presume.
Starting with number one, let's prove God exists. Whatever has a beginning to its existence must have a cause. Is that accurate?
That is accurate.
How do we know?
Well, I have a beginning because of my parents. Okay. The car you drive had a beginning because of maybe in Detroit. I don't know where your car is made, but people assume.
Probably not Detroit anymore.
Yeah. But it was built in a factory
and
it was planned out prior to the factory. And so those plans had a beginning because somebody put those plans together.
Very good.
Sent it to the factory.
Now you're giving some examples there. And those examples are a very good analogy to the law of causality. We're going to go metaphysics here for just a minute.
All right. Are we comfy?
Doesn't matter.
All right. Doesn't matter. This is metaphysics. You don't have to be comfortable. All right. In metaphysics, this is known as the law of causality. Dave, what's the definition?
Nothing cannot produce something.
That's a double negative.
It is.
This is an English class. We don't care. All right. Nothing cannot produce something.
Right. That's what they say.
So if you have nothing, you will get
nothing.
Nothing.
You know, they had that song back in the 70s. What? Nothing from nothing leaves nothing.
What song are you talking about?
I think it's called something like that.
That's probably before I was born.
It was.
So I don't even.
I'm so ashamed.
All right. But
I should be talking like this.
Yeah, right. That's right. Hey, geezer, what's the law of causality? Did they have metaphysics back then?
No.
Look, it should be obvious that if something began to exist, something had to cause it to exist. All right. So you gave some examples. The car. Mm-hmm. The car came from a car maker.
Right.
You came from, well, you know.
Yeah. I don't want to think about that.
Yeah, it's too late. Everyone's already thinking about it. So Dave came from somewhere, right? If you have an apple, it came from an
apple tree.
An apple tree. Assuming. Yeah, he came from an apple tree, right? It came from somewhere. If you have a nail, it was made in a nail factory. Mm-hmm. If you have a bubble, it was made when you put soap on your hands and started to scrub. Like these actions you have, these growths from a tree, these equipments that you put together in a factory, they all cause things to exist. And whatever had a beginning had to have a cause. Now, some people will be like, well, what about God?
Uh-oh.
Did God have a beginning? I think I was just telling you before the show started, I was having this discussion with my eight-year-old daughter. Right, she was like, where did God come from? I'm like, well, he didn't come from anywhere. Well, how did he start? I'm like, well, he didn't have a start. No, like you had to kind of walk through this process.
That's a lot for an 8-year-old mind to try and wrap around.
It's a lot for a 30-year-old mind to wrap around, or a 90-year-old mind to wrap around. Right, like, okay, but it basically comes down to this: you only have to be caused if you had a beginning.
Right.
Right. I want you to like draw a little circle in your brain and then draw a line that comes out of that circle. Okay. So you got the circle is the beginning point, like when you were conceived or when someone put a car together, and then it exists. That's the line. Okay. And then it continues to exist.
So the line is the lifeline.
The line is the
life. From the beginning.
Yeah. The dot is when it began to exist. Okay. Now let's take that dot away and extend that line back forever. Okay. So that it has no beginning.
Right.
Does it need to have a creator? Well, you can't have a creator to something that has existed forever.
Right, because the forever existence means that you could never even get back far enough to even see a creator because it goes forever.
Right.
I'm trying to wrap my brain around this. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, the line's too long to get to the end of there. You can't be able to wrap it around. But you can't have a creator if you have no beginning. And since God didn't have a beginning, right? We don't say that God was self-caused.
Right.
No. We say God doesn't need a cause because he never had a beginning. He always was.
Right. Hence the names that he's been given. The great I am.
I began.
Right. Yeah, the one who is and was and is to come.
Right. God had no beginning, so he doesn't need a cause. Now, and that, by the way, part of this is the ontological argument. We've done a talk about that once. We didn't want to touch it after that.
I didn't want to touch it after that because my brain was fried.
Yeah, much. Revelation 8:1-8 says this, though.
I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty.
That's right. Okay, so God's self, not self-caused, right? God exists outside of time. He never began to exist. God is a non-caused being, okay? But our universe is not in that category. And we're going to get to number two now, because now we're understanding, well, hopefully everyone's on the same page as us. Mm-hmm. If you had a beginning, you had to have had a cause.
Right.
Now we're going to go to number two that says,
the universe began to exist.
How do we know it began to exist? Well, before we get there, let's go ahead and answer a Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction today brought to you by truthbeknown.com.
Okay.
About seeing God. Genesis 32:30, they say, it says, I have seen God face to face. However, John 1:18 says, no man has seen God at any time.
Oh, geez.
There is a conflict there, Jeff.
Dang. That does seem like a problem, right? Mm-hmm. You can't see God. No man has seen God. But right there in Genesis 32, it says, I've seen God face to face.
Right.
That's not good. Well, we're going to use our cracked acronym. What's the first C stand for?
Context.
Context. You got a winner here. All right, so we're going to use our context. We're going to read a little bit around these verses and understand what it's all about. The very first thing you should do when someone reads a Bible verse to you, quotes a Bible verse to you, says there's a contradiction, says they have a favorite verse.
Laugh?
No.
Okay.
It's to read the context.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But I'm glad you're laughing at people who memorize Bible verses. That's a very mature thing to do.
Thanks.
Proverbs 12:1, we all memorize it here at the church. It's a good one. Mm-hmm. Same with Jude 2. I'm not going to put you on the spot.
Thanks.
All right, so anyway, John 1:18. There's some context here where he says, no one's seen God. Well, actually, if you read the context, it's kind of interesting. It says, no one has ever seen God but the one and only Son,
yep,
who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Okay, this is actually saying, look, people seen Jesus, okay? Mm-hmm. Jesus has seen God the Father. There's an exception here, and we've seen Jesus.
Right.
Right. This verse is actually giving us a hint that there's an exception to this rule. We've seen Jesus. Now, in Genesis 32, let's go ahead and read what happened here.
Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared.
Okay, there's some people who will read this, and they read the context and go, oh, well, Jacob was wrestling with an angel. And he thought he'd seen God face to face. So he said that he saw God face to face. So that would resolve the contradiction there. He didn't actually see God, but he was wrestling with an angel.
Right.
I actually think this was God. And you know what? Who this was?
Dun, dun, dun.
Jesus. It was Jesus.
Oh.
It was actually a pre-incarnate Christ that he was wrestling with. I mean, there's lots of these in the Old Testament times when Jesus showed up
right.
in a physical body. This is important for us to understand. Anytime God takes on physical form,
it's Jesus.
It's Jesus. Right. I shouldn't even say takes on physical form. That gives a misrepresentation of the Trinity. But anytime we meet Jesus in physical form, or meet God in physical form, it is Jesus that we are meeting.
Right. And so. It was like I'm going to kind of derail a little bit. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fiery furnace, and when they looked down in there, it said it looked like a son of a god or the son of God.
Or the son of a man, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about Jesus,
right?
So anytime Christ shows up in the Old Testament, it's Jesus.
Awesome.
Not God the Father in the face. And so these two verses aren't a contradiction. It's just sometimes when Scripture says God, it's talking about God the Father. And this guy was confusing it with God the Son. And gotcha. So that's how we resolve this contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
You know, some people are going to say you use the Trinity to kind of skirt around that question, but I beg to differ.
Well,
because Jesus is God.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, people will just say that.
Did I use the Trinity to skirt around it? I mean, I guess so. The Trinity was the answer to it.
Right. But you didn't skirt around it. I mean, you gave the true answer.
That's the answer. I mean, we believe God's in a Trinity. There's God the Father and God the Son. You can see God the Son, can't see God the Father.
Right.
That's the difference.
There you go.
One of the differences. All right. So, okay, so we've come back to the cosmological. We understand now that anything that has a beginning to its existence
had a cause.
Yep. Now we're saying, number two, that the universe began to existence.
Right.
Began to exist. Something's wrong with me. All right, so the universe began to exist. How do we know this? Actually, believe it or not, this is still a huge point of disagreement. All right, we believe in the Big Bang.
Right.
Big Bang is when the universe began to exist. Bang, it starts to exist,
yes.
Right? It's just universe. But we're going to come back and we're going to discuss some people who don't think the universe had a beginning. They think it's always been here. Or maybe the multiverse thing.
And we're going to explain why the universe could not have always been here.
That's right. We're going to explain that nice and clearly.
Mm-hmm.
We might try to tackle the multiverse thing a little bit too.
Okay.
We're not afraid of multiverses. We've done a whole show about it.
Right.
Hey, truthrevolution.tv is our website. Truthrevolution.tv.
You want to get out there? We got past shows. We got truth shots. And you can donate and ask questions.
Man, those of you who donate help Revolution Church. You help people get saved. You help people hear the word of God.
Amen.
You help this radio show go on the air and reach thousands of people. We're on like 13 channels, YouTube, and a podcast. Thanks for giving to us. Thanks for sending your questions. Hey, we're going to be right back with more proof that God exists.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
One of the things we find interesting is that humans have always believed in a God.
Even philosophers like Aristotle and Plato, who were ready to reject anything that wasn't logical, believed.
Author William Lane Craig has said, the ancient Greek philosophers were impressed with the order that pervades the cosmos, and many of them ascribed that order to the work of an intelligent mind who fashioned the universe.
He continues, the heavens in constant revolution across the sky were especially awesome to the ancients. Plato's Academy lavished extensive time and thought on the study of astronomy because Plato believed it was the science that would awaken man to his divine destiny.
Great point by Dr. Craig. In other words, the very fact that our universe is ordered instead of random and chaotic
should be a sign to us that some kind of ordered mind created the rules that govern the universe. It was not a random and chaotic accident.
Like it says in Romans 1:20.
Read more. Get Reasonable Faith by William Lane Craig.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Revolution Church.
Let your tattoos show.
Let your kids be kids.
Let yourself be yourself.
Let your burdens go away.
Let your problems be taken care of by someone stronger than you.
Let God be God.
And let's learn about Him together. All right, He wants you to know Him more.
Revolution is Sundays at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 5 p.m.
Online at revo.church. Spell it out.
R-E-V-O.church. Do you love Truth Revolution?
Of course they do, Dave.
Well, if you do, or...
Or if you appreciate the fact that thousands of people are being taught that Christianity is compatible with science and logic.
Or if you simply love the fact that we hear from people often who say, this show changed my life, I love Jesus.
Then consider a donation.
You can visit TruthRevolution.tv or Revolution Church and donate.
We don't get paid from this show.
But it's our goal to give truth, give knowledge, give encouragement.
And your giving keeps all of our giving going. Ephesians 1:4 says, for He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. We were chosen by God to be saved before the world began. But listen to the rest of this verse. It says, in love He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. God chooses to describe His grand cosmic plan for the redemption of humankind as adoption. Now God chooses words carefully. And Jewish theologians, including Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, believed that history from the beginning was moving towards a pinnacle mountaintop when God would redeem His people, that is Jesus Christ redeeming us. And all the climax of all history, physical, emotional, spiritual, is described as our adoption because of Jesus. Consider adoption today. God uses the word as the pinnacle of what He's done for you and me. And it can be the pinnacle of what you do for another human being in this world.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back with proof that God exists.
Yes.
In this half of the show.
I found it at Area 51. It's a... I just, that was a dumb joke.
That was a dumb joke.
That was dumb. That's not... That was not any good at all. Okay,
well,
so...
let's get on to something good then.
Okay, so number one, the universe... Or, sorry, now I'm all discombobulated. Mm-hmm. Number one, whatever has a beginning to its existence has to have a cause.
Right.
Now, number two, we're saying that the universe was one of those things that had a beginning.
Right.
So that we can say that it had a cause. Well, we think it did have a beginning. Now, some people will say, okay, and just by the way, some Christian theists will disagree with us on the age of the universe.
Yes.
Okay, all Christians believe that the universe had a beginning.
Or they should.
They should.
Right.
Young earthers say it was like 10,000 years ago. Old earthers like us think it was more like 13 or 14 billion years mm-hmm. ago. But they all agree that the universe came into existence at one point.
Right.
In fact, most secular or even atheist scientists believe that the universe had a beginning point.
Yes.
We actually have a number of quotes. I don't think I brought them with me from scientists suggesting that the fact that there was a beginning to the universe, they wanted to reject the Big Bang because like, that's right. really theological.
Yeah, that was back in the 1920s or 30s when they mm-hmm. started coming out with the Big Bang theory. And they're like, wait a minute.
Whoa.
This is sounding like the theological, the biblical event.
Yeah, man, if this is true, there might be a God. And they got right. like really nervous about it. But believe it or not, there's some people who say the universe didn't have a beginning. So we're gonna look at the philosophical reason and a scientific reason to show that the universe actually had a beginning.
Okay.
All right. The philosophical reason goes like this.
That using logic, we know that if you are trying to deny number two, which is the universe began to exist, you would argue that the universe did not have a beginning. This would probably mean that it is infinite.
Okay. Yeah. and not probably, but it would mean that right. It was infinite. All right. Now, before we have to tackle this issue, we have to understand what infinite really is.
Okay. Here we go.
And by the way, we have a really good visual of this on that video we were talking about on truthrevolution.tv. Mm-hmm. So you can go watch that video. We got a really good visual. But infinite is not a large number. It's not something that keeps growing. It's not something that's changing. It's not even a specific number. It's not like you can count up to infinity. Like 1,000,001, 1,000,002. Whoa! Whoa, the next number's infinity! Like, you can't. In a sense, infinity is just complete. Dictionary.com gives a definition to it. Says that infinite is existing beyond or being greater than any arbitrarily large value.
Right. If infinity is like, if you can't go beyond infinity, why does Buzz Lightyear keep saying that?
To infinity
and beyond. Oh, that's terrible. You should be teaching children that. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. No matter how high you counted, you could never get to infinity. All right. You could theoretically count forever, but you still began at zero and you've just added one over and over again.
Right.
Right. With infinity, it's not the case. Infinity plus one is
infinity.
Infinity minus one is
still infinity.
Think about that. You if you have a hotel with an infinite number of hotel rooms and all your hotel rooms are full, if someone checks out of your hotel, all the rooms are still full.
Wow.
Okay, this is infinite, right? It's all huge. It's just completely full. That's what infinity means.
Okay.
All right? You can't take away or add to infinity because it is the complete value. Yeah,
the fullness of whatever it is.
Right. Norman Geisler says it this way.
Time cannot go back into the past forever, for it is impossible to pass through an actual infinite number of moments.
Now think about this. We're talking about why the universe isn't infinitely old, okay? Right. You cannot go back into the past forever. If in theory, you can, but not in reality. And here's why.
All right. A theoretically infinite number of dimensionless points exist between my thumb and the first finger. But I cannot get an infinite number of sheets of paper between them, no matter how thin they are.
If you had an infinite number of pieces of paper, how much space would they take up?
An infinite amount of space.
More than the entire universe would be filled with paper.
Scary.
Okay, you can't.
Sounds like my desk.
No matter how thin you slice paper, an infinite number can't fit between your thumb and your finger. But there is, he's right, there is an infinite number of points between my thumb and my finger, right. Theoretically. Mm-hmm. And this is the difference between theory and real life.
Right.
Okay, theoretically, you can say the universe began forever ago. But in real life, well, let's keep reading here.
All right, each moment that passes uses up real time that we can never again experience. Moving your finger across an infinite number of books in the library would never get you to the last book. You can never finish an infinite series of real things.
You can never finish an infinite series of real things. So think about this. You can never even get halfway done with an infinite series.
Man.
So if you have an infinite number of books in a library on a shelf and you start walking along, tapping each book as you go, you'll never even be halfway done. Why? Because it's an infinite number of books.
Right.
You can't get halfway. In fact, you can't even get 10% of the way. You can't get 1% of the way.
That's really discouraging. Well, let's just quit right now.
Then let's just put this into our universe. If the universe was infinitely old, how long would have it taken to get to the point where we exist?
An infinite amount of time.
An infinite amount of time. We would have never actually gotten to the point where we come into existence.
We are still waiting on that train right here.
That's right. We would still be waiting for our own existence if the universe existed forever. It's one thing to talk about limitless possibilities or theoretical points, but it's another thing entirely to actually try to cross an infinite amount of time.
Right.
You can't cross an infinite amount of time. We would have never gotten to the point where the Earth existed if the universe had existed forever. Philosophically, we know you cannot have a universe that has existed forever.
Right. Wow.
Period.
Just a lot to think about.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. We would still be an infinite number of years away from our own existence.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So we know philosophically the universe had to have had a beginning. Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about science, okay? This is the second law of thermodynamics.
It tells us in simple terms that in a closed system, everything runs down.
Yes, everything runs down, right? Mm-hmm. A closed system, it is a set of objects that has nothing put into it or taken out of it. Okay, your car is not a closed system. Why?
Because you can always put gas into it.
You can put gas into it. exhaust comes out of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, energy, replacement parts, all that, right? Your body is not a closed system. Why?
Because you still need food.
That's right.
You put food in, food comes out.
Something comes out, right. Yeah. On a personal level, we understand that unless you take a car to a mechanic, mm-hmm. it'll break down, right? Hot food eventually gets cold, the battery's in your remote, someday run out of power. And this is just a really simple term, a really simple explanation of second law of thermodynamics, but it's on a larger scale too.
Mm-hmm.
Stars eventually die. Black holes eat solar systems. And believe it or not, the entire universe has been slowly cooling down. Scientists have actually measured, they've noted that in 10 to the 30 years, okay, that's like trillions and trillions mm-hmm. of years from now, but in 10 to the 30 years, the universe will be 90% dead stars. Listen, 90% dead stars. Our sun won't even exist.
Oh.
9% of the universe will be gigantic black holes preparing to eat the rest of the universe. And 1% will just be hydrogen.
Yay, hydrogen.
All right. In 10 to the 100 years, so like even way, way out there,
mm-hmm.
black holes will even dissipate. They will lose their energy and just...
That's nuts because, I mean, like we think about one of the most powerful things in our universe is a black hole.
Mm-hmm.
And they will dissipate.
They will dissipate. They will run out of energy. Now, this isn't going to happen for trillions and trillions and trillions mm-hmm. of years. But if it's all, if the universe has always existed, how long ago should have we run out of energy?
A long time ago.
Yeah, trillions and zillions and rillions of years ago.
Yeah, we would be, well, we would be past the point where all of the black holes have actually dissipated. We'd
exactly.
be living in nothingness.
Exactly. So we know the universe isn't eternal, mm-hmm. isn't hasn't existed forever. So let's review the argument.
All right. Number one, whatever has a beginning to its existence must have a cause. Mm,
true.
Number two, the universe began to exist.
True.
So that must mean number three, therefore the universe has a cause.
And then we call that the creator. Okay. Whatever's mm-hmm. outside of that universe that caused us to exist would be the creator. That would be a God. Now, some of you are saying, well, what about a multiverse? Maybe there's this multiverse. Well, look, even in a multiverse, you have to ask the question, What created our universe? Mm-hmm. What bubble are we? And what's outside of our bubble? And what created that? All right, you end up with an infinite regression there. And it's still the same logical arguments apply.
Right.
Even in a multiverse. So since the universe is everything that exists, unless you count the multiverse, but in that case, the same arguments still apply. Whatever caused it to exist has to be the creator, has to be God.
There you go.
That's a Kalam cosmological argument. All right, let's try to listen. Let's do a listener question before we get out of here.
I got a question.
All right, Beth says, the Bible says we are not to add or take away anything in the Bible. So does that mean we are not supposed to add extra words?
Yeah, basically.
Pretty much. It doesn't
mean we're not allowed to illuminate mm-hmm. Or talk about it. But yeah, it's commanded in Proverbs 30. All right, that's the generic point. In Deuteronomy, it talks about not adding to the rules he gives, which people always do, by the way. And in Revelation, it's talking specifically about that book. It's saying, hey, yeah, don't add to the book of Revelation. Okay, the point isn't that we can't say more or that we can't insert text into the Bible to explain it or understand it, but we can't actually take what God says, put our own words or our own thinking in there.
Right.
That's what it's trying to say. Don't print a Bible with your own words inserted into it, acting like that's really God's words.
Right. Okay.
And don't just take things away to hide them. But you can explain things. You can, you know, put in brackets and say, this is what I think it means. Mm-hmm. And when you're translating, I mean, God knows we have to translate from one language to another. I mean, this is not like some, God's not being anal and malicious on this.
Right.
He's saying, look, take my word seriously. Don't add to what I'm trying to say. Don't take away from what I'm trying to say. Faithfully represent what God says.
There you go.
Okay. This has been TruthEvolution.tv from Revolution Church. We want to take God's word seriously. We want to take science seriously. And you know what? We want to take you seriously.
Amen.
Why don't you come on out to Revolution Church? We'd love to have you. This is for real, man.
Right. Every Sunday, 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 5 p.m.
Yeah. We want you to know God better and to come along and do this with us. We've been growing. There's been a lot of people coming here. And you know what? There's still room for you because we're just, whatever we got to do to help you know and love God better, we want to be able to do
that.
And
we're a hotel with an infinite amount of rooms.
Whoa, that was deep.
There you go.
So we're already full, but he can come anyway.
That's right.
She can come anyway.
That's right.
All right. So Revolution Church, truthrevolution.tv. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sending in your questions and your thoughts. We respond to every single one of them. Thanks for donating. Have a great week. God bless.